Matthew 6, verses 19. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also." So we see here in Matthew 6 that it is very important for us to recognize that treasures here on this earth is of no value. You know, you can gain and have everything this world has ever had to offer. But you know, the day you die, you know what happens to it? It goes to somebody in your estate, and half the time the stuff gets thrown away or gets sold to some other person who may find value in it. When that person dies, it'll get passed to somebody who may find value in it. And at the end of the day, it's just an object that doesn't go anywhere. And when this earth is completely destroyed, it's going to be destroyed with it. And so treasures here on this earth is not what we should seek. What we should be seeking is treasures in heaven. And if we do that, then we might be able to think deeper and deeper about, are we homeless? And do we actually have things that are in heaven that's going to help us make it through a spiritual life? And we sing a song, actually. It's Psalm 230. It's called "This World Is Not My Home." And that first stanza of that verse is so great, and when you think about it, because it's so true, and it goes, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." And each and every one of us, that's what we're doing. This is not our home. And if you want this to be your home, it's short term, it's short lived, it doesn't really have a lot to offer. And I don't want to say that you can't find joy in this world, because you can find joy in this world, but it's so short lived that it's going to be completely gone, that joy. When your life is over, you won't remember it. You know, I often think of, you know, there's a question that I've been asked multiple times. It's like, will we remember this life when we, you know, when we die, and if we go to heaven, will we remember the things of this life? I don't really know the answer to this. I look at the rich man and Lazarus story that we have with Jesus, and we do see that the rich man had remembered his life. The rich man had remembered things of this past. But Lazarus, though, is so comforted. I think the last thing he's thinking about was the things that was in this life. And I often think that, well, if I had to give an answer to that, I would say, well, what do you remember about your life when you were ages 1 through 5? I don't remember anything, except for some reason I still remember my dad's 40th birthday cake. I have no idea why I remember this thing. But you and I, if we look back and we try to think, it's just a memory, and it's faded. And a lot of times those things, the only way we remember them is when we look at photos, and then it may trigger something to bring it back. And so if I were to answer that question, I'd say, I think your memory is going to be so far gone that it's going to be faded, and you're not even going to want to remember it, because the heavenly home is so great that it's going to be nothing but joy. And we kind of talked about that through the way it's described in Revelation. And I don't know about you and I, but, you know, this world doesn't have enough to offer us to which we want to spend a short time of our memory focused on that, when we'd rather spend a long time of our memory focused on heaven. And that's what we needed to key in on. Go to Hebrews 13 for a moment. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 7. It says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought to the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might be sanctified the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And that's what each and every one of us should be seeking. That's the city we want to be part of. And if you are outside looking into that city right now, you need to make a change in your life. Because if you're not seeking that, you will be homeless. You will not have a home when this life is over. And that is something you do not want to deal with. Think about going back to the homeless here. Look at how desperate they could be to get money and for food and to just have a place to sleep and maybe a warm blanket when it's cold. If you're homeless in heaven, if you're homeless when you die, you will have none of those joys that heaven brings. You'll be seeking a place for refuge, for comfort, for, in better terms, to cool you down because of where you'll end up. There's no way out of that. You will be in a place for an eternity, and you will always be homeless. And that is something you do not want to have happen. Go to 1 John. First John 2, and if we look at verse 15. First John 2, verses 15. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." That, brethren, should be our whole reason that this world should mean nothing to us, outside of the fact that we're passing through it, and where our goal is to live with God in mind while we're here. And we don't know how long our earthly lives will be. Every one of us has a start and an end. There's time that was created here. There's not time in the life after this one. And it's hit home here in verse 17. It says, does the will of God lives forever? Forever means there is no time limitation. You will always have a home. Your needs will always be taken care of. You will not be homeless. You will have every joy you can imagine. Actually, you can't even imagine the joy that you would have. And so when you're walking this life, think about your actions and how it's ensuring that you're going to have a home forever, and that when you do die, you're not going to be homeless. And if whenever I have to throw a lesson together quickly, always go and use this set of verses in Philippians. I think if you can just read this in Philippians 3, and that could be the lesson in itself. Paul, and the way he describes everything about his walk in this set of verses, is how we should be describing and walking in our lives. In Philippians 3, and we're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to hone in on a couple verses, really one specific verse. And the title that I have for this section here in my Bible is called The Goal of Life. Let's read it, starting in verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you." I find it ironic that he's going to write the same things again, because this is so important. That this is so important to just continue to hit home. That this is something, if you want to wake up and read something every day, I would read this set of verses. Verse 2. "Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day in the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrews of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is of in the law found blameless. So I'll pause right there. Paul is saying that if anyone is worthy to be truly exalted in the flesh, it's him. Because he did everything right for what he thought was true. And he listened to the people that he should not have listened to. But when Jesus came to the forefront, he changed his way of thinking. And if Jesus is now in the forefront of your life, you need to change the way you've been thinking. Let's continue on. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. I'll pause right there. So you see that he's willing to give up everything this world has to offer, the riches, the wealth, the fame, everything for Christ. In this case, Paul is earthly, physically homeless, but he is not homeless. Because of what he's given up here on this earth, he has a home that means more than anything this earth can count. And he's willing to go to his death for it. And no matter what he loses here on this earth, it does not compare what would have counted if he had lost the things of following Christ. You will lose out so much if you make a decision to lose Christ and keep the earth, things of this world. Instead, lose the world and keep Christ. That's where the gain comes. Continue on. Go back to into verse 8. It says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, in John 5, we just read earlier in Bible class, where it talks about these two resurrections. And it says that if you're dead now, you need to become alive. Come alive, so that when you die, you are alive again. Otherwise, you're going to remain dead here, and you're going to remain dead when you die. And so here, we need to be part of that resurrection from the dead, the earthly dead. We come alive through Christ. But listen what he says, though. He warns everyone, reading this letter, which includes you and I, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This walk that you walk is not over until you're gone. So at any moment, you can become spiritually homeless. At any moment, when you make a decision that's in your life that takes you away from God, you are becoming spiritually homeless. And that is a spot you do not want to be in. Continue on, verse 13. It says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And he's not talking about just forgetting his past in the things that he's done. But what he's talking about is forgetting the joy of all those things that he had in this earth. That's not what's important. What's important is the joy he's going to have when he gets this reward in the end. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Continue to live by the standard. What is the standard? It's Jesus Christ. It's the words that Jesus Christ came to present, to show. That Jesus came here to not just go to the cross, but he came here to show you and I that the Father is real. You are a created being. You and I have a home after this. That's what Christ came here to show us. And then verse 17, it says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many, there are those who will choose to walk this walk, and they will stay on the path for some time, but then they will choose to go off of it because of the joys of the things of this earth. They instead of wanting to, they don't want to be homeless here, they're choosing to be homeless in heaven. That's not the way you need to live your life. And Paul is specifically saying, don't be like those. And he's weeping because he knows their circumstance. A homeless heaven is no heaven. You're not in heaven. You're homeless because you're in a place so far from God, you can't see anything. You're nothing but pain every day. And you have no way out. That's homeless. That's being homeless. Continue in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. But look at verse 20. For our home, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we see our home is in heaven. That's where we need to be at right now. And you should know if that's where your home is at. Paul does. Paul says, I haven't retained that reward, but I know I'm going to get it if I continue down this path. What path are you on? Are you on a situation in which you have put a down payment on a mortgage and you're ready to move in? Because God has already prepared your room. Turn over with me to John 14. And a couple more verses and then the lesson will be yours. John 14. Look at what Jesus says to his disciples. You know, you want to be comforted with the things that are the bad things that seem to be happening to you in this life? Take these words for comfort because of the life you're going to have after this one. Look at verse, starting John 14, verse 1. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have a home. There are many, many rooms for us to be in. There is a place prepared for you and I. What's great about it, we don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for by Jesus Christ. All he wants us to do is take the key and open the door. But we have to do something in this life. And there's one way that we can connect a home in heaven is we need to know, is God living in you? Because if God is in you, you have prepared a home for God in you, then God has prepared a home for you. Because that Jesus is saying he's coming to get those who are his. And the only way you know is God having a place in you. And if we turn over to Hebrews 10, don't remember the exact verse off my head, but we'll get there. We look at verse 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more. Now he's talking about those who are willing to make a commitment in this life and change their life to follow God. And it took Jesus to come here to allow for this indwelling of God's word within us. You know, there are groups out there that will teach this prayer teaching. I don't want to go through because I don't believe in talking about other religions in the pulpit. But they want this prayer to be recited and have Jesus come into your heart. You know, there's I don't like the way that term is used, but you and I should have Jesus coming into our hearts. The laws, the words, everything that we do in our lives, those should be indwelled within us, which means that God is dwelling inside of you. And so if God has a home in you, then He has a home for you. But if God is not dwelling in you, He doesn't have a place for you. That's the piece you need to fix, and you need to fix it right now, because you never know when it will be your last day for God to be able to join you and for you to join God. You're going to run out of time. This earth is dictated by time. We all have an expiration date. We don't know when it is. Nobody. You know, Hulk Hogan just died. You think he woke up thinking he's going to have a massive heart attack that day and be done? It could happen to anybody. Anybody. It could happen to me. You know, I just turned 38, but I could wake up tomorrow and have a heart attack. It happens. The fact is that you need to be ready for a life with no time. And if God dwells in you, then you have a home ready. If not, you need to change it, and today's the day to change it. If there's anything that we can do, please come forward, or we can talk to you afterwards as together we stand and as we sing.